Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. This is Mix 106, Mixed Sunday Morning. I'm Shaw Gage sitting in with you. It's February 23rd. Happy Sunday morning to you. Glad to be here with you. Got a special guest this morning, Kelly Gage, my mom, is here, and just looking forward to spend some time with her and talking about keeping our hearts and how we can do that. Looking forward to being with you this morning on Mix Sunday Morning, 106.5. Back with you on Mix Sunday Mornings. This is Shaw Gage sitting in with you. We're going to talk about Colossians this morning. Our scripture is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. And God's word says this: "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." This verse hit me this week as I was preparing. And, you know, last week we talked about having the peace of God in our hearts and how we do that and get rid of the worry and get rid of the trouble. But just to have that peace of God. And that verse stood out right there at the end of, or in verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." That's what we're going to talk about this morning, having that peace, continuing that conversation, and also being thankful. How do we do that? We're going to break it down. So excited to have my mom in the studio with us today, Kelly Gage. Looking forward to her insights and how good of a teacher she's always been. And just have always appreciated her being a part of my life and being my mom. So thanks for being here, Mom.
Thank you.
We'll be back with you here in just a few on Mix Sunday Mornings. This is Shaw. Happy you're here listening, tuning in, enjoying that cup of coffee on this beautiful Sunday morning. Sitting back with you on Mix 106.5, Mix Sunday Mornings. This is Shaw Gage in studio with my mom, Kelly Gage, this morning, and just talking about the peace of God and how we control our hearts, how we keep our hearts quiet, how we keep them peaceful. And mom, just wanted you to come on because you were the first person I wanted to interview. Just you've always been a great testimony in my life and the way you've taught us, you and Dad both. But you've taught Women's Community Bible Study for many years, and so just have always been in awe of that and really learned a lot of my teaching from you through the years. But just wanted to talk to you this morning about, you know, a relationship with Christ and what that's all about, and for our listeners out there that may or may not know what your testimony is. So, Mom, I was just going to ask you this morning, you know, when did you meet Jesus, and when did you know that he had forgiven you?
Well, it's been a long time now. I was 17 years old, and I went to my youth group because I thought my boyfriend was going to be there, and he wasn't there. But there were some football players from the University of Alabama, and they asked us that day, "If you died today, do you know where you would spend eternity?" And I thought, yeah, I'll probably go to heaven. I'm not Billy Graham, but I'm not an axe murderer. Yeah, I think I would go. I hope I would go. And no sooner had I thought that than they said, "If you're just sitting out there thinking or hoping, you don't really know." And they presented the good news to me so clearly that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. And I saw that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior because I didn't want to go to hell. You know, almost 60 years ago, most people believed that there was a heaven and a hell. You didn't have to prove that or try to prove it. And so I knew I didn't want to go to hell, and I knew there was a good chance that I could die. I was getting ready to go off to college and planned on having a good time, and I thought, you know, I better make sure I know where I'm going to go. So they said, "Behold, Jesus stands at the door and knocks, and if any man opens the door, he'll come into him." And they said, "When you get home tonight, you ask Jesus to come into your heart." I can't believe they even let us leave the building, but they did. And that night I went home and I said, "All right, Lord, I don't think I called him Lord then. I just said, God, if you're real and what they said is true, I want you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior." And I waited, and I thought, well, maybe I'd hear some angels singing or see a burning bush or something. Nothing happened. But I asked Jesus again. I said, now, maybe I didn't do it right. I want you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And once again, there was just silence. But I had a Bible, and I opened my Bible, and it was in John 10. And Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So that sealed the deal with me right there.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so cool. And, you know, that's what it's all about, is just giving that surrender up and just giving it to him. You know, we all want to be in control. We want to all want to own it and get the glory and the recognition and all that kind of stuff. But that's in our personal walk with him. That's what it's all about, is just surrendering to him. And, you know, he forgives us, you know, in that moment. And, you know, in reading our verses this week in Colossians, it was talking, you know, about forgiving one another as Christ forgave us. And as I was thinking and praying about it this week and just going, you know, what can we talk about and those kind of things, but that's the ultimate act of forgiveness, is when we invite Christ into our life, he forgives us immediately for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And, you know, I mean, how does that, I'm just curious, how does that inspire you in life to forgive others?
Well, you see, when I asked Jesus into my heart, I asked him to be my Savior. And I didn't understand Lord. I didn't understand the Lordship. So all these years, you know, I've learned that I need to submit to him. And, you know, I think it was Peter who said, Lord, how many times do we forgive? Seven times? And he said, no, seven times 70, which means there's no end to what our forgiveness should be. But when I think about all that Jesus has forgiven me for, who am I to hold on to anything that somebody has done against me? And so it's freeing, and I want to be free. You know, there's a whole world out there that's miserable and dying and going to hell, really. And they need to hear the good news. And there are a lot of Christians that you may not want to listen to because they're bitter or resentful, or, you know, they haven't been able to forgive in their lives. So it's just so good. It's just so good to let him come in and take control of your life.
And it's cool that you hit on that, because it is. It doesn't make sense to our human brains to go, if I submit to God, I'm not free, right? I'm giving up control, so I can't handle that. No, 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 no. And a lot of people fight that. But when you do, and you've done that, and Dad's done that in y'all's lives, I know I've been able to do it in my life. And when you do submit and you give it up, it is the most freeing thing. You know, I've shared a few weeks ago about my history with my cancer journey and the car wreck, and that same thing you're talking about just came to my mind when you talk about forgiveness and who am I? You know, who am I? I think that pride gets in the way. I know it does for me. And when you let go of that pride and just go, okay, God, just use me in this situation, it's cool how he blesses that. And it's funny, too, how we can justify our own sin, our own wrongs, and that kind of stuff, but we have such a hard time forgiving others. But, you know, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
That's right. That's right.
Cool. Great having you in this morning, Mom. We'll be back here in just a few talking with Kelly Gage on Mix Sunday Morning, Mix 106.5. Shaw Gage with you on Mix Sunday Morning, continuing our conversation with Kelly Gage. My mom, Bible teacher, community Bible study for several years. And we're talking about Colossians 3. Want to just go over verse 14 real quick, but it's saying this. It says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Y'all, this theme has been here the last couple of weeks, the peace of God. Just having that, getting rid of the worry, getting rid of the just junk in our lives, and letting that peace of God rule. And when I was praying about it this week and was led to the scripture, I just thought it was really cool having my mom on here. She's always taught about keeping your heart. And I just thought, you know, it was interesting here that the Bible keeps repeating this several times throughout scripture, where love, that's what it's all about, is love is the most important attribute for believers to display. Mom, why do you think that is? Why do you think love is what it's all about?
Well, because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, you know, I've learned this from my good friends, Mary Glenn and Sam Peoples, that there are three things that are natural tendencies that we all have that gets us in trouble. The first thing is having to have our own way. And a lot of times our way is right, but what is our response when we don't get our way? Oftentimes it's a sinful response. The second thing that'll get us into trouble is we look to people or events or circumstances for joy and peace rather than looking to the Lord. The third thing is we tend to blame other people for our own bad behavior. So those are natural tendencies that we all have. Remember, Isaiah wrote that all we like sheep have gone astray, each has turned to his own way. And of course, it says, and on him, that's the Lord Jesus, was laid the iniquity of us all. And the iniquity of us all is our selfishness. So I want my way, you want your way. And a lot of times there's a big conflict there. We are to be marked. People, as we're told that you will be known, Christians will be known by their love. And in a world that's so filled with hatred and violence, we really need to do what God says we need to do. So we had those three negative natural tendencies. And then there are four things that God wants to do for us. He wants us to have love. He wants us to have his peace. He wants us to have his joy and his comfort. So love is the most important, and I thought while you were asking those questions, I would just read out of 1 Corinthians. This is God's definition of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. It does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So I've learned over the years that love will never fail me. You know, somebody might not like me, they might hate me, whatever, but love will never fail me. Mm. And you know, I want Jesus Christ. You know, I said earlier I didn't understand the lordship part of a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus. I wanted him to save me. But over the years, and by the way, I haven't been teaching community Bible study for a few years. It's been 42 years, which has just been so wonderful to me because God has me in his word, and you know, Jesus is the word, so every day when I'm studying and looking, I get to really know him in a greater way. So anyway, I love all of this thought that he wants to fill me with love, joy, peace, and comfort.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And I was being nice when I just said several years. So.
Well, thank you. It doesn't matter to me how old I am. It's just what it is.
Well, you've been such a tremendous influence on so many people and friends and strangers that when they know that we're related is just super cool. So it always makes me feel good when somebody says something kind about you. But I think you're right about that. You know, the love, the peace, the joy, and the comfort. Your friends Sam and Mary Glenn, who you referenced, they were very instrumental in my life when I was 20 years old, and I was going through just trying to grow up and trying to figure out what it was all about. And something they shared with me was, you know, their famous quote was, you know, circumstances of life don't make or break you; it just reveals what's in your heart. And I think that's so true. And when I taught school, I kind of made my own version of that and would say it in a little bit simpler way for the students. But I would say this: life is not about what happens to you. It's about how you respond to what happens to you.
That's right.
And, you know, we've talked about this on the show before, but people see us not just in church on Sunday morning, but they see us on Monday morning at the grocery store or Tuesday afternoon at the gym or, well, I need to go there, but Wednesday, you know, at the bank, whatever. And if our reactions and how we treat people and how we communicate with people is not bearing love and peace and joy and comfort, and we're not displaying those fruits of the Spirit, people are going to see that too. And they're going to be turned off and go, you know, I don't want any part of that, Jesus. So our witness can be both ways there. You know, I used to say in school when I taught was, we're either impacting the kingdom or we're not at the end of the day. Whatever we're doing, wherever we're going, whoever we're interacting with, it's either for the kingdom or it's not.
I had a friend who took the fish symbol off of her car because she didn't want people to see that she was a Christian and driving like she was.
Didn't want to be going down Highway 280. And yeah,
exactly.
That's a good one. Exactly. I like that. I like that. Well, cool. This is awesome. Having a lot of fun with my mom, Kelly Gage, on the radio this morning. We'll be back with you here in just a few on Mix Sunday Morning. Another beautiful day here in Sylacauga, Alabama. This is Mix Sunday Morning. I'm Shaw Gage. We're talking this morning with Kelly Gage, my mom, about, you know, keeping our hearts and these qualities that people see in our lives. We've been reading in Colossians chapter 3. And I want to back up to the first verse we read, but verse 12 names these things, and it just shows what separates believers from non-believers and true followers of Jesus from those that just claim to be Christians. But it says we're holy and beloved. We put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. Y'all, when we display those things, people see that in us. They see a difference in us, and they begin to ask those questions. And they begin to say, hey, I really want to be a part of that. Mom, I want to ask you that this morning. You and I were talking earlier this week, and you were sharing an experience you and a friend had out in Dallas, Texas this past weekend. And just was hoping you'd share that with us about displaying those qualities as you normally do and how it impacted some people out in Dallas, Texas.
All right. I'd love to share that because it's all that God is doing and he's preparing us to do. But I wanted to go back to our earlier conversation about keeping your heart and about the three natural tendencies that we have, having to have our own way, looking to our events or to events or circumstances or people for our joy and peace, or blaming others for our bad behavior. And then I told you that God wanted to do four things for us. He wants to fill us with his love and peace and joy and comfort. What I wanted to add to that is it all starts with submitting to God. So here's what happened last weekend. A friend of mine and I were flying out to Texas for a weekend of wedding events. We had big old suitcases filled with clothes to go to a barbecue, a rehearsal dinner, a brunch, and a Sunday afternoon wedding. We got out to the airport. We thought on time, but we were 3 minutes late. You have to be out there checking your bags in 45 minutes before the flight leaves. So they told us we could not get on the plane. We just couldn't do it. So I said, well, could we go on and fly on the plane and send our luggage on the next plane? And they said, no, you have to fly with your luggage. So there wasn't anything we could do to work it out where we could fly that day. So I looked at my friend and I said, well, I'm just not going to go. And then we kind of thought about it and we said, let's see if we can book it for tomorrow morning, Sunday morning. So we could. So we went home, unpacked suitcases, a little small bag this time because we missed everything but the wedding. We got out to the airport good and early on Sunday morning because we didn't want to have any cross-ups or mess-ups, only to find out our plane had been delayed 2 hours. So I looked at my friend Barbara and I said, I'm not going. You know, you think, well, this is on. And I always pray before I go anywhere, Lord, if you don't want me to go, stop me. So we were stopped twice. And she said, well, come on, let's just see. So I said, now I'm going to tell you something. If we are delayed anymore, I don't care if it's 15 minutes, I'm not going to go. Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't get delayed. We got on the plane. Last row on the plane. You know, those seats don't go back.
Right, yeah.
Straight up.
The fun ones.
All right. And Barbara said, I didn't want to tell you because I thought you might not get on the plane. So anyway, we fly out there. And I was teaching this week Matthew chapter 21 where Jesus comes into Jerusalem and he tells his disciples to go to a place, a certain place, and that they would find two donkeys, a colt and the mother there, and to bring them to him. And he said, if anybody asks you about it, he said, tell them I have need of these donkeys. So I, you know, and I realized because I'd been studying and I'm on the plane and I'm looking at the scripture again, I thought, you know, Lord, no one noticed the donkeys. They just noticed Jesus. So could it be that you're using these donkeys here on the airplane to go out to Dallas?
Oh, wow.
To tell people about Jesus? So anyway, we get to Dallas. We have an Uber driver taking us to the hotel And I found out he was from Ethiopia.
The driver.
The driver.
Okay.
So I said, I have always heard that there's a possibility that the Queen of Sheba took the Ark of the Covenant when she was with King Solomon to Ethiopia, and it is still there. He said, I've heard that rumor too, but I don't know if it's true or not. So I said, well, tell me about your spiritual life. He said, well, when I was young, I was spiritual, but I've sort of forgotten about all of that now. And he said, I don't know. I don't know what I believe. So I shared with him how I was 17 years old and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And all these years later, it's been a wonderful journey, good times, bad times, happy times, sad times, but he never leaves you and he never forsakes you. So the driver didn't seem to, you know, really respond in any way. And I said, you know, one of the most, well, if not, it is the most important question you'll ever answer is if Jesus said to you, who do you say that I am? What would you respond? And I said, I settled it. I asked him to be the Lord of my life. So anyway, subject changes again. And then he said, I cannot believe y'all are out here for just 24 hours. And about that time, we pulled up to the hotel. We got out of the car to get our luggage. And I went around, and his name was Nacho. I think I called him Jalapeno. I got confused. But anyway, I said, you know, that's interesting that you would say to me that we were only out here for 24 hours. I said, maybe we're not out here just for the wedding. Maybe we were out here for 24 hours to tell you that Jesus loves you and has a plan for your life. I said, does that hit home with you? Does that resonate with you? And he said, yes. And I said, would you like to ask Jesus to come into your heart right now and be your Lord and Savior? And he said, yes, I would.
Wow.
So he prayed, and Barbara and I turned around and went to the hotel, and we said, now we know why we were delayed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's timing.
Absolutely.
Being ready to submit. We go into the hotel, check in, and the guy, the man that was checking us in said, my name is Abimelech. I said, Abimelech? That is a biblical name. And he said, it is. And he said, most people don't know it. So I said, well, Abimelech wasn't a good king. And he said, no, I read about him. He wasn't a good king, but that's my name. So it's kind of in the back of my mind, I thought, you could talk to him a little bit more about this and possibly have an opportunity to share. But we had just a short amount of time to get in the room, change, go to the wedding, and just let it go. So we go to the wedding, and that night after I got home, in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I was praying and thinking. And I thought, Lord, that scripture, because I'd looked at it again, in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus said, I have need of those donkeys. You know, Jesus doesn't need anything, really.
Right, no.
He's God. He created everything. But we are his possession. And when he needs his possessions, he calls for them. So I said, all right, Lord, if Abimelech is there in the morning, I'll talk to him. And it was like he said, I have need of you. You carry me down there. So went down there, and sure enough, Abimelech was at the desk, and I said, Abimelech. I just love saying that name. That's sort of fun.
That's a great name.
I said, Abimelech, I was thinking about you last night, and I was thinking about the fact that you and I talked about that King Abimelech in the Bible was not a good king. And I said, the truth is, we all want to be kings of our lives, and we're all bad kings. But Jesus Christ is a good king. He's a good king, and he has a kingdom, a spiritual kingdom now, but one day he's going to have his kingdom on earth, and we want to be a part of that kingdom. Wouldn't you like to be a part of that kingdom? And he said, yes, I would. And I said, well, I know you're busy. You're here at this front desk, and, you know, he's typing and doing all this. I said, but if you want to ask Jesus into your heart, just keep your eyes open and pray after me. And he did.
Wow.
He did. So, you know, I saw, it's maybe reordering the way I go through life. I'm just available. And by the way, those donkeys were tied up. I don't know if they were tied up to a tree or a post, but they were tied up. And if we want Jesus or be able to carry him or do anything, we need to get untied from our sin or having to have our way and be available to him. So every morning now, you see, I can get up and I can say, Jesus, I'm listening for you. You know, it was a blind man that we studied about in Matthew chapter 20, I believe, and it said he was blind, but he could hear the Lord, and he positioned himself so he could hear when the Lord passed by. And when the Lord passed by, Jesus said, "What do you want from me?" And he said, "Open my eyes, I want to see." So you see, there, you know, it doesn't matter how old you get or how much scripture or you've walked, you know, or how long you've walked with him, he is doing mighty, mighty exciting things. And if that's not enough, I was in Tuscaloosa yesterday, and two girls from the class I teach down there, well, one of them goes to the class, she brought her sister-in-law, asked me to go to lunch with them. And so they had all these problems, all these things going on. And I, with the first one, her friend hadn't come yet. I said, "Well, hold up. I said, "Tell me about your spiritual life." And she said, "Well, I grew up in the church. I knew a lot about, you know, the Bible." That was the end of that. I said, "Well, let me ask you this another way. When did you realize you were a sinner and needed a Savior?" And she said, "Well, you know," she just wasn't sure. So I said, "Well, you know what? Maybe today's the day that you need to surrender your heart to Jesus Christ." And she said, "I think it is." And so she prayed.
Amazing.
See, that old donkey went down to Tuscaloosa.
Wow.
Her friend comes. Her friend has got so many problems, she burst into tears when she sat down at the table. And she said, "I don't know how to forgive." That goes back to how we started our conversation. And she was so wound up. And I said, "All right." I said, "Just sit down and let's talk about this." I said, "Tell me about your spiritual life." And she said, I don't have a spiritual life. "I'm just trying to figure out how to forgive." And I said, "Well, probably you need a starting point. And if Jesus Christ, if you've never received him and put your trust in him, you don't have the power to forgive." So she prayed to receive Christ, okay? I said, now, I mean, her circumstances hadn't changed, but I talked to her about keeping your heart, how you have to pay attention. And she hated two people right off the bat. I mean, it was easy. She had become resentful. She was holding a grudge. It was just garbage. I said, "You see, that's trash. That's garbage in your heart, and it's got to come out. It's got to come out." So, donkey. And we ate at a Mexican restaurant, and this donkey's probably going to weigh 4,000 pounds. But, you know, I'm just listening now for Jesus to say, "I have need of you."
That's amazing. That's fantastic. That's so cool. And just what a great reminder it is when we're just, you know, let God take over and let him use us, untie our own self. I've never thought about that, but that's a great description, that so many times we're so tied up in other things and whatever that post may be or that tree that we're tied up to, we've got to untie ourselves so that we can be that donkey for him. That's cool, Mom. Fantastic. That's just such an amazing story, and so thankful for your heart and just your wisdom and being able to hear that and just receive that from the Lord to go out and, you know, that's four people that are going to be in heaven that weren't going to be this time last week. So
that's right.
That's fantastic. So proud of you, Mom. That's awesome.
You know, well, you know, of course, it's the Lord. But, you know, I just wonder, are we getting into a season of revival? You know, we prayed for it for years. Their hearts were ready. They were ready. I mean, it was easy, in a sense, to share. So I just think we need to really look.
I think you're spot on with that. I've been having conversations with people as well about a revival coming. I think people I talk with every week, I mean, there's somebody that's going through something, and people are just hungry. They're just looking. They're searching with all this angst and social media and political divide and everything that's going on in our world. People are searching, and there is only one way to have peace. So thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Kelly Gage sitting in with us this morning on Mix Sunday Morning. We'll be back here in just a few on Sunday Morning Mix 106.5. This is Mix Sunday Morning. I'm Shaw Gage. talking about keeping your heart this morning and just looking for those opportunities. You know, when our heart's not right, when we're not keeping our heart clean, and what I mean by that is, you know, so many times we get sin or strife or whatever crud in our heart, but we've got to let that go. And how do you let that go? You've got to confess that out of your heart. You've got to clean that slate off. And that's not only daily, but that's almost, for me, it's by the minute, you know. And if you let that stuff pile up, then it just doesn't come out well, and you don't have those attributes that God's Word's sharing with us this morning. But when we're not going to be sensitive to those opportunities to impact the kingdom if we're all tied up in our own heart, right? It's a discipline. It's something we constantly have to monitor in our lives. And if we don't, people are going to see that, and we're going to be selfish. You know, years ago, Mom, I know you remember this, but back in 2009, I faced a job loss. And right before that happened, God was preparing me with the word selfless. And you hit on that just a little while ago. In our world today, everybody's just in it for themselves. And I pick on Burger King, have it your way. We take selfies with our camera phones, and it's just everything is pointing towards, whether it's social media or the news or whatever it may be, everything, all these marketing campaigns is just all about me, I. And that's not at all what Jesus is. Jesus is all about blessing other people and forgiving other people and sharing that love with other people. And so I think that's our challenge, you know, as we go, not only today, but throughout our week and throughout the rest of our lives, is to be selfless. And, you know, you and Dad have done a tremendous job of that through the years, and just displaying that for me and my brother and my sister. And just so thankful for that selfless display that you guys have given us. And, you know, I had a good friend that used to say, let go and let God. And I think that's what we've got to do.
That's true. You know, I'm sitting here thinking that when Jesus died on the cross, he could have defended himself. He could have said, I am the Lamb of God that took away. I'm the beloved Son. I'm the one who the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. But he did not. And do you know why? Because when he was on the cross, he was in our place. Mm. We have no defense because we've sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. So, you know, the world teaches you, you're good. Here's, you know, we keep promoting. And the hard truth is that we are sinners and we're depraved. And I don't know, I can't understand this, but for some reason God loves us. And he loves us enough to die for us. So I am so thankful for that. And I was thinking about a verse over in Ephesians where Paul wrote, he said, I pray for you. Listen to this. He says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Here's his prayer, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith. I've come to learn Les Feldick said it, and he's gone home to be with the Lord. I used to watch him on TV or radio, and he said, I think the best definition of faith is taking God at his word. So, you know, this word is alive. I look at it, and Jesus says it, and I believe it. I don't sometimes know how it's going to work out, but I'm taking him at his word. So remember also in Ephesians it says that we're to take up a shield of faith, because that'll, you know, stop the fiery darts of the enemy. So, you know, you either have a big shield or you have a little shield. You know, I go back and think about when we got the call that you'd been in that accident and you were diagnosed with cancer, and it wasn't a good kind either. And I decided, we went up to Vanderbilt and were with you, and then we came back home, and I said, all right, Lord, when you died on the cross, you said it's finished. You did absolutely everything you needed to do to bring sinful man into a relationship and a place with the loving God. You finished it. So, and I think I was teaching in Genesis then, and I realized, you know, through Abraham, that he was a pilgrim, just passing through. Mm. And I thought, you know, we're all just passing through, and some of us might get to the Lord before others. And I realized you could go before us, and that's certainly not my plan, how I would like to see it played out. But I had to decide right then if I was going to trust him, if I was going to have faith that he was going to work everything out according to his good plan and his good purpose. So, you know, God is all about, because, you know, don't you just love Psalm 139 where David said, you know, he says, God says, I know when you rise and when you sit down, I know your thoughts before there's ever a word on your tongue. He knows all about it. Us. And David said, this knowledge is so high, I cannot attain to it. Even if I went to heaven, thou art there. If I dwelt in the remotest part of the sea, thou art there. Thy right hand would lay hold of me. So you see, he's done it all. What more could God do for us? He's so incredibly wonderful and marvelous. There are just no words. And little did I know as a 17-year-old, when I said, come into my heart, what would lay ahead in my life. But it's been truly wonderful. And one day I'll see him face to face, and that'll be forever. It'll be wonderful.
And that's going to be awesome. It sure is. And it's, you know, but it all starts, you know, it goes back to love, right? And I thought that was cool that, you know, in this scripture today from Colossians, it says, you know, but above all these things, put on love. And that's where it started. He loved us. And you shared this in the beginning, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that's what it's all about, is just that love, because we can't do anything to earn it. We can't do anything to create it. It's just his love and his grace for us. That's what it's all about. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's all about him.
Absolutely.
Somehow it's not about me. Yeah. We're the donkey.
Right. I love that. I love that illustration. So much fun. Mom, it's been fantastic having you on this morning. So thankful for you. I love you, and I just appreciate your wisdom, and your teaching through the years has been such an inspiration, not only to me, but like I said earlier, so many countless others. So thanks for being a part of it, and we're going to have you back again.
All right. I love you.
Love you, too. Be back with you on Mix Sunday Morning, Mix 106.5. Thanks for being with us this morning on Mix Sunday Morning. Shaw Gage, just having a blast with you guys. Had a good time with Kelly Gage, my mom, being in studio with us this morning. Tell your friends, tell your family about us. Let us know how we're doing on the Mix 106.5 Facebook page. We're going to be back with you next week on Mix Sunday Mornings. I want to leave you with just a laugh before you go. I always like putting a smile on people's faces, but I got one for you here. What happens when a microscope crashes into a telescope? The kaleidoscope. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time on Mix Sunday Morning, Mix 106.5.
Thanks for listening to the Mix Sunday Morning Podcast. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix 106.5radio.com, the Radio Alabama app, or Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.